So a year ago, I set out to preach a sermon series. And now we're almost a year away from that date. That was in October of last year. And I've preached 5 of the 6 messages. So I think we're probably due for a little bit of review. So what I'd like to do is just start from the beginning very quickly and go through this series. Now, the series is A Life That Rocks, or Living the Abundant Life, and it's based on John chapter 10, verse 10, where the Lord says, "But a thief comes in to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." And again, I wondered, well, what does that abundant life look like? And then I was reading in the book of Isaiah, and read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, where the Lord says, "But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." And there are several aspects lined out in that. That sounded to me like the abundant life. Having the kind of energy to soar and to run and walk, that seemed to me pretty abundant. And so I began exploring that. And through the message series, we started with the first message, A Life That Rocks, the Source of Abundance. And what that is God is a source of abundance. God is king. He is strong, the ruler, creator, all-knowing, incomparable, enthroned, and in charge. He is our shepherd. He is personally involved. He protects. He embraces. He is gentle. He leads. He feeds. He shelters, and he provides. And God is strong enough to save you, close enough to hear you, has vision enough to see your needs, has wisdom enough to know your thoughts, has love enough to mend your heart, has abundance enough to provide all your needs, has power enough to protect you from harm, has healing enough to cure your diseases, has vision enough to direct your path. That's a pretty amazing source, if you ask me. And then we talked about, well, how do we connect to that source? And the word in the scripture is trust, wait, hope, put your faith in. And so the second message of the series was about that connection, surrendering to the Lordship of Christ. That's how we put our trust in. And so the second message was surrender beyond the white flag. And we talk about, well, why would you want to surrender? Why surrender? Well, big reason number one is death and hell if you don't. And big reason number two is heaven and hope if you do. So those are pretty good reasons. But those kind of are far out in the future. We don't look at those real quick. But what are some other reasons? We talked about, do you invite Jesus into your heart, or do you abandon yourself to his heart? And we talked about that there isn't enough room in our heart, and it's not a very nice place. So it's far better to move from our heart into God's heart. And why would we want to do that? Well, in God's heart, you get eternal life and eternal security. You get access to every spiritual blessing. You become holy and blameless in his sight. You are adopted, part of the family. You have redemption. You are forgiven. You have become his inheritance, his valued possession. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are made alive. You are seated with him in the heavens. You become fruitful, successful by heaven's standard. And with you in him and his word in you, you ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. Now, one of the things we talked about too, and it's actually in the next message, is no Lord is an oxymoron. Okay, you can't say no Lord, because if Christ asks you to do something and you say no, then he isn't Lord. And you've just rejected his lordship. If Christ asks you to do something and he's Lord of your life, you can't say no. So that's what it means to be abandoned, surrendered. And the benefits are amazing. They describe to me abundance, okay? But there, it goes beyond that. Once you are connected to that source, it says that we can soar on wings like eagles. So the third message was take a flying leap, all right? When a step of faith is not enough. And it says the flight of faith happens when God takes you out of your own limits and understanding and leads you to do something that seems impossible. The first of those is trusting in him as Savior. But we also learned that in that list, the flying comes first. It comes before the running and the walking. God is our flight instructor. There will be multiple flights throughout your life. Flying is mandatory, and flight, and you have to choose whether it's a flight of faith or a foolish risk. In that message, we talked about the fact that flying is the first phase of the abundant Christian life. It comes before running, before walking, even before crawling. This flight of faith is the foundation for experiencing life beyond your wildest expectations. It is the starting line for running the race. It is the reassurance to keep walking. It is the power to stand strong in the face of battle. Flying is the evidence of faith, the breeding ground of faith, the fertile soil of faith, the nutrition for faith, and the test of faith. Okay? So flying was the first step. The next one was running. This is message four. Run, man, run. So we get off onto the race, and you got to know if you're going to be in a race, what are the stakes? We know that the location of this race is in the holy city. Even though we're here on earth, this race is taking place in both the physical realm and the spiritual realm we talked about in that message. So this is a race that is witnessed by the angels, by the firstborn, those who've gone before us, by God, who is the judge of all. He's at the finish line, by righteous people who've been made perfect, and by Jesus, who is our example in the race. And what is that race? That race is fulfilling to the maximum God's kingdom purpose for your life in the freedom of God's grace, without the bondage of sin or the weight of the law. We talked about some of our challenges for running the race. Number one is we carry baggage a lot of times, and if we're going to run the race, we've got to drop the baggage. And the baggage is guilt, negative relationships and conflict, and legalism. And we talked about the fact that instead of legalism, we need to live in grace. And grace is the running clothes of the spiritual life, lightweight, precision garments that not only free us to run, but give us the inspiration to run. Then we talk about you might have baggage, but even worse than that is chains that keep you from ever leaving the starting line. And those chains we have to release. We have to release the restraints of worldly treasures, sin, addictions, bad habit, and distractions. And distractions are, we talked about distractions. A distraction is a good thing that takes the place of the best thing, becomes a bad thing. Okay? So those are distractions. And then finally, you've got to run. You can't just always sit there. So you have to focus on the prize, practice self-control, which is not doing the things you shouldn't do, running with intentionality, not aimlessly, and exercising discipline, which is doing what you should do. I'm doing this really fast. Number five was walking, and we talked about power walking. And that was last week. Walking is the day-to-day grind, okay? The way we live our lives, our actions over our intentions, it's what we do and why we do it. It's the life that we live that others see, feel, and hear. We also talked about the fact that we're to walk this way in Jesus' example. He is our example. He's been here before. He's done it before. So we're to walk this way. But we also have difficulties walking. We had difficulties running. We'll have difficulties flying, but we have difficulties walking. And that's it's a long road. It's a lifetime walk. We have an adversary who is the devil, and we carry baggage, which is the old man. That keeps coming up, doesn't it? That keeps coming up. The old man and the devil keep coming up in this story. They've come up over and over again. They're going to come up again in our message for tonight. It's like, we keep having to struggle with this devil and with our old nature, the sin habits that we have. But we also found out that we're not limited by those, that we can walk in Christ victoriously. So in Christ, we walk in victory over the old man, in the freedom of the new man, by faith in Christ Jesus. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now, it's interesting that passage says, those who trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall soar with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. So we talked about trust and we talked about the Lord. We talked about soaring, running, and walking, but we never talked about being renewed. Being renewed is the benefit of being connected to the source, and it's the power to do the other three. So tonight we're going to go back and talk about being renewed. I don't know about you, Mondays are hard for me. Okay? Sundays are very draining, and most of the pastors I know and most of the worship pastors I know take a nap on Sunday afternoon. And when we were in seminary, all the talk about how you run a church staff and things like that says, don't plan anything big for Monday. Okay, because everybody is worn out from Sunday. So on Sunday, you need a time to sit back, maybe do some administrative work, some minor stuff, but don't do any major planning. Don't have any major meetings on Monday. On Monday, those in ministry, in large numbers, quit the ministry. Most of them, thank God, re-sign up on Tuesday. But on Monday, many of them quit, and many of them quit almost every Monday. It's like Monday morning, I don't know if I can do this, Lord. I just don't know that I can keep doing this. All that preparation, all that work, and this went wrong, and that went wrong, and this person's upset about this thing, and that person's upset about the other thing, and on and on and on it goes. And when you're in the ministry dealing with people, when you're in the spiritual life, doing anything in the spiritual life, adversaries come against you, the baggage piles up, and it gets very, very difficult, and we need to be renewed. All right? We need to be renewed. And so, if we're going to be renewed, it says, those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. Well, let's take a look at it. Number one, that's not our strength. Okay, that's coming from outside of us. Once we get the strength, we can soar and run and walk, but we are not the ones who are the source of strength. You can't be strengthened by strength you don't have. Right? You have to get strength from somewhere else. For years, scientists have worked trying to find a construction, trying to make a perpetual motion machine. Something that once they started, it would keep on running without outside power and would continually go and go and go without outside source. You know they've never done it. They have never been able to do it. They've also tried to find a perfectly efficient machine. Now, that's a machine that 100% of the power going into the machine comes out in the desired result. It does what you want it to do 100% efficiently, and they've never made that machine either. There's always power loss someplace along the way. There always has to be external power coming in, and you're always going to lose power along the way. So nowhere in all of creation is there a place where there is a self-sufficient power cycle. Nowhere. And we're the same way. You can't sit off by yourself. You can't go off on your own, working and working and working without being renewed from time to time. You've heard it referred to as burnout. People hit burnout in their work, in their relationships, in their ministries, whatever. People hit burnout. It's because you're out of energy. But this passage promises us that those who trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, if that's true, then about this renewed strength, whose strength is it? If it has to come from an outside source, and we've talked about this, whose strength is it? How great is this strength? Why do we need the strength? That should be pretty obvious. And is there enough strength for me? So let's just take that real quick. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 and 29, it says, do you know, not know, have you not heard? Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never grows faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. So who is the source of strength? It is Yahweh, the great king, the creator of the whole earth, who never grows faint or weary. He is the unending, everlasting power supply. That's a pretty good source to be plugged into, don't you think? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24 and 25 goes on to say, yet those who are called, both the Jews and the Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom, because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. No matter how strong you are, God is stronger even on his weakest day. If he ever had a weak day, which he doesn't, which is amazing. And it's our benefit that he doesn't. So Yahweh, the creator of the whole earth, who never grows weary, represents his strength to us through Christ, who is God's strength in our lives. All right, so that is the source of strength. That's whose strength it is. It is God's strength that we have access to if we trust in the Lord. Okay. So how great is this strength? Well, we've talked about this when we in message one, kind of how great is God, and he is a source of strength. But Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 to 23 say it this way. I pray that the perception of your mind may be enlightened, so you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the glorious riches of his inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his vast strength? He demonstrated this power in the Messiah by raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand in heaven. So how great is this strength? Paul says, it is an immeasurable power. It is a vast strength. It is so great that it not only raised Christ from the dead, but lifted him from the pits of hell and seated him in heaven. That's some pretty powerful strength. Ephesians 3:16-21 goes to say, I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through his Spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So his great strength is it's an immeasurable power, a vast strength that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in heaven. It's able to do beyond all we ask. It's even able to do beyond all we can possibly imagine. No matter how great a task you can imagine, God's strength is stronger than you need to accomplish that task. That's the promises of Scripture. So that's a very great strength. Why do we need this strength? Well, the last few weeks have talked about that. We get weary. 1 Peter 5:10 says it this way. Now to the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory, Jesus will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little. But why does he say that? Well, two verses before that, in 1 Peter 5:8, he said, be serious. We did this 2 weeks ago. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. So why do we need strength? Because we have an adversary. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 13 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of the devil so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. So why do we have strength? Because we have an adversary, but also because we will have to stand against him. It's not if in the scripture. It says not maybe you will, in case you do. It says when you stand, when he comes, when it happens, you'll need this strength. The day of evil will come. And sometimes it seems to come every day, every week. Okay? So we know that God is the source of strength, that strength is amazingly strong beyond our comprehension. But will that strength work for me? Will it really work for me in my day-to-day life when I don't feel like getting up on Monday? When I say, God, can I even go another week doing this? No matter what your struggle is in your relationships and in your daily walk, will that strength work for you? Well, let's check it out. Philippians 4:13 says, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Makes it pretty personal. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. So will his strength work for me? Yes, according to Scripture, we can do all things in his strength. Then 2 Thessalonians goes on to say, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. So will his strength work for me? Yes, we can do all things through his strength. But God will also strengthen us against our adversary, Satan, the devil. His strength is there specifically to help us in that battle against Satan. Revelations 3:8 says, in his letter to the Philadelphia, the Lord says, I know your works, because you have limited strength. I have kept my word and have not denied my name. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one is able to close. This is a very interesting passage because it says not only can we do all things through his strength, and not only is his strength help us to stand against the adversary, but it says God knows our limits and will open doors for us that we couldn't open on our own. And he'll set it up to where nobody else can close them. Because he knows that we're not perfectly full of strength, and we know he knows that we struggle. So there are things, there are times when God will intentionally, by his power, open doors on our behalf. I have seen it happen in my life and in the lives of others. God can and does and delights to open doors to help us through this struggle. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 says, God will also strengthen you to the end so that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus. So we can do all things through his strength. God will strengthen us against Satan. He knows our limits and opens doors we can't open, but God will also strengthen us to the end. It's not just for today. It's not just for tomorrow. It's to the end of this battle on earth. God will strengthen us to the end. Okay, so his strength is there for us from today to the end of time. But it even goes beyond that. In Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and 37 to 39, Paul says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So through his strength we can do all things. Through his strength we are strong against Satan. He knows our limits and by his strength will open doors that can't be shut against us. He'll strengthen us to the end, and his strength protects us against whatever may attack forever and ever and ever and ever. That's how strong God's strength is on our behalf. So, this renewed strength, whose strength is it? Who is the source? Well, it's Yahweh God, Jehovah, the great King. How great is this strength? It's beyond our comprehension and beyond the furthest extent of our need. Why do we need this strength? Well, we have an adversary, and we have baggage, and we have struggles. Will his strength work for me? Yes, no matter what, and forever and ever. Amen. That's how God's strength is for us. So let's take a look at this life that rocks. We remember that the source of the life that rocks is God Almighty. The connection is trust, abandoning ourselves to him, surrendering to him. The benefit is renewed strength. Okay? The benefit of trusting in God is renewed strength. And the outcome is we will be able to soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. That, to me, sounds like a pretty amazing life. Through this series, we've talked about the fact that God has a plan and a purpose for us that's designed for us. He knows your heart. He knows what your needs are. He knows what you like. He knows what you want. He knows what makes you tick because he started it ticking. So he knows of all, in all that exists, he knows what will make you enjoy life, what will bring the greatest amount of abundance in your life. And he has the power, if we trust in him, to make it happen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you are the amazing, omnipotent, all-powerful God. And the fact that you have made your strength, your power, your protection available to us if we will only trust in you is beyond our comprehension. But Lord God, on behalf of everyone here, I pray that we will take that step of surrender, and that even in our day-to-day lives, not just in our initial commitment to you, but in our day-to-day lives, we'll surrender to your lordship, that we will make you King of Kings in our lives. There is no one like you, God. We love you and praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.